The Papers by Henry James, Chapter 1. There was a longish period, the dense duration of a London winter, cheered, if cheered it could be called, with lurid electric, with fierce incandescent flares and glares, when they repeatedly met at feeding time in a small and not quite savoury pothouse, a stone's throw from the Strand. They talked always of pothouses, of feeding time, by which they meant any hour between 1 and 4 of the afternoon. They talked of most things, even of some of the greatest, in a manner that gave, or that they desired to show as giving, in respect to the conditions of their life, the measure of their detachment, their contempt, their general irony. Their general irony, which they tried at the same time to keep gay, and to make amusing, at least to each other, was their refuge from the want of savour, the want of napkins, the want too often of shillings, and of many things besides that they would have liked to have. Almost all they had with any security was their youth, complete, admirable, very nearly invulnerable, or as yet inattackable, for they didn't count their talent, which they had originally taken for granted, and had since then lacked freedom of mind, as well as need of any offensive reason, to reappraise. They were taken up with other questions and other estimates. The remarkable limits, for instance, of their luck, the remarkable smallness of the talent of their friends. They were above all in that phase of youth and in that state of aspiration in which luck is the subject of most frequent reference, as definite as the colour red, and in which it is the elegant name for money when people are as refined as they are poor. She was only a suburban young woman in a sailor hat, and he, a young man, destitute, in strictness of occasion for a topper. But they felt that they had in a peculiar way the freedom of the town, and the town, if it did nothing else, gave a range to the spirit. They sometimes went on excursions that they groaned at as professional, far afield from the Strand, but the curiosity with which they came back was almost greater than any other, the Strand being for them, with its ampler alternative Fleet Street, overwhelmingly the papers, and the papers being, at a rough guess, all the furniture of their consciousness. The daily press played for them the part played by the embowered nest on the swaying bough for the parent birds that scour the air. It was, as they mainly saw it, a receptacle, owing its form to the instinct more remarkable, as they held the journalistic, than that even of the most highly organized animal, into which, regularly, breathlessly, contributions had to be dropped, odds and ends, all grist to the mill, all somehow digestible and convertible, all conveyed with the promptest possible beak and the flutter, often, of dreadfully fatigued little wings. If there had been no papers, there would have been no young friends for us of the figure we hint at, no chance mates, innocent and weary, yet acute even to penetration, who were apt to push off their plates and rest their elbows on the table in the interval between the turnover of the pint-pot and the call for the awful glibness of their score. Maud Blandy drank beer, and welcome, as one may say, and she smoked cigarettes when privacy permitted, though she drew the line at this in the right place, just as she flattered herself she knew how to draw it, journalistically, where other delicacies were concerned. She was fairly a product of the day, so fairly that she might have been born afresh each morning to serve, after the fashion of certain agitated ephemeral insects, only till the morrow. It was as if a past had been wasted on her, and a future were not to be fitted. She was really herself, so far at least as her great preoccupation went, an addition, an extra special, coming out of the loud hours and living its life amid the roar of vehicles, the hustle of pavements, the shriek of newsboys, according to the quantity of shock to be administered, thanks to the varying temper of Fleet Street, to the nerves of the nation. Maud was a shocker, in short, in petticoats and alike for the thoroughfare, the club, the suburban train and the humble home, though it must honestly be added that petticoats were not of her essence. This was one of the reasons in an age